From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm John Wells.
Our next guest, Harry Kirschner. He was instrumental in the commercialization of a company called HealthLoop, basic company mission to bring mobile technology to healthcare to improve the patient experience and to reduce avoidable cost. Harry spent his entire career in the development of software and creating funding channels to bring these technology platforms to the marketplace. His company, HealthLoop, was sold nearly a year ago to GetWell Network, and combining the two has created a fast-growing and more comprehensive healthcare platform. Harry's going to explain as he joins us here in the studio all about this stuff. Harry, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Tell us about your company.
Yeah, of course. Well, I first want to make a disclaimer that I'm nowhere near smart as Lauren, so you should temper your expectations as listeners. And I'd like to thank her for the hours of time I spent around the kitchen table with my McPoland children working on science fairs. It works. They are passionate about science, so thank you. But onto HealthLoop and what I've done. You know, my passion is really around how do we bring information technology and particularly software to make healthcare better for humans and for patients. And I think the easiest way to understand what we do at HealthLoop, now GetWell Loop as we call it, is if you can imagine that there was a pill we could give every patient when they walk out of the hospital, and that pill would drastically reduce the likelihood of readmission, proven in research by 45% actually in peer-reviewed research, and that it would elevate the experience of that patient, so they would go off and rave about that experience and sort of the, their recovery. We would give that pill to every single patient. We wouldn't really even think about it, right? Our pill that we developed is digital technology, and the basic premise is empowering patients with information. When we have a medical episode, something common in Park City, a knee surgery, for example, right? It's the first time we go through that as a patient. The providers that are supporting us, the clinicians, they do this every single day. They know what to do. They know what to expect. They know when there might be trouble or risk factors for patients. So what we're doing is really leveling the playing field of information to ensure that patients can be a much more active participant in their care, and we can catch issues much earlier and intervene before they spiral into a readmission, a complication, a negative experience for that patient.
Yeah, and this is all brand new, or not brand new, but in the last 10 years where people are starting to take more responsibility for their health care. And I'm curious with the tools that we have and the different apps and the things that Apple is putting on their smartwatch and all these other sort of things at the intersection of digital and health. If there will be pushback by some people that really don't want to take responsibility for their own health, and they're so ingrained with that traditional relationship with their doctor, they go to the doctor and she tells them that they should be doing this or that, and they may want to continue to have that type of relationship. But I think that the younger people are up for this. What are your thoughts on people grabbing a hold of this?
Yeah, what's interesting is there's always the perception that this is the wave of the future and younger patients are going to love this. What's really interesting is that older patients actually have higher adoption rates than younger patients.
Oh.
The reason for that is older patients tend to have more loyalty to their physicians and to the providers that are taking care of them. And we cheat a little bit. We are not GetWell Loop to the patient. We are presenting information to the patient and pushing information to the patient that appears to be their doctor reaching out to them or the nurse that is supporting them. So in most of healthcare today, when a patient is leaving a clinic, when a patient is leaving a hospital, hope and a stack of paper are the strategy to support that patient. And that's really kind of pathetic in today's world, right? So what we're focused on is how do you actually use that human relationship? And we incorporate a lot of empathy into our content. So the patient really feels like this is an ongoing conversation and dialogue with my care team that ultimately wants to make sure that I get better as quickly as possible and sort of move on to my new normal.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Harry Kirschner of the GetWell Network, GetWell Loop. And he's a local resident here in Park City. He commutes a lot. He goes between Park City, Bethesda, Maryland, and Menlo Park in Silicon Valley. And he's also brought a team together here in Park City. So part of what you do, Harry, is to attract talent or find talent here in Park City to work on this platform, this technology platform. So how does that go? First of all, can you find people here in the Park City area? Do you have to reach out beyond to the Salt Lake Valley? You know, what does that look like?
Yeah, my experiences here have been very positive. I moved here because I wanted to live here, and I decided to make it work. And that involved a little bit more time on airplanes. But ultimately, the company was successful in its growth to the point where we were able to hire quite a bit. And selfishly, I decided to build an office here in Park City. And what I have found has evolved rapidly across the course of the last 6 years is, first, we have become a well-known, well-regarded healthcare information technology hub, including some companies that have recently gone public. Health Catalyst is one, among others. So there's actually a very strong base of talent that we can recruit right here in the area. And then I tend to focus my hiring on high potential young individuals. And those individuals are generally extremely excited about the opportunity to live somewhere in Park City, yet still have the opportunity to build a career in an organization that's growing, that's having very positive impact on healthcare delivered.
Yeah. Well, we talk a lot about, well, we know how expensive Park City is, but it's a lot cheaper than Silicon Valley.
Yes.
So you talked about hope and a stack of paper. And it's funny that you said the stack of paper, because when we all think of being in a medical office, it conjures the vision that we've had throughout our lives of these manila folders, and they're all neatly stacked and up in this rack. And I just always marveled at that. Like, how do they keep the thing straight? And you talk about a situation, I guess you've always been a technology guy in your career, but you were with your wife and she had this medical, I don't know if it was minor surgery or some condition. And upon discharge, they gave you this badly photocopied, you know, prescription. And it was very specific what the prescription was, but it was hard to even read on the paper. And this kind of is where it began, right?
Yeah. So the reason I'm personally so embedded and excited about this is healthcare tried to kill my wife. I don't know the right way to say that. She was still coming out of anesthesia after an interventional radiology procedure, which was step one in treatment for a pretty rare condition called Paget-Schrader syndrome, where she was actually having occlusion of a vein because of a first rib, which is right underneath your collarbone, that was causing clotting and sending DVTs into her lungs, or PEs, little PEs into her lungs, not DVTs, sorry. The first step was to clear that clot out. And they told her that all she had to worry about was the little incision that they had in her arm before the interventional radiology procedure. They failed to let her know that hemorrhage was a substantial risk after the drugs they had given her to bust the clot out. And they also failed to let us know that during the procedure, it's called an angiojet, it was actually going to break up a lot of the blood cells, and she would actually urinate red, and it would look like blood. So there were multiple situations that resulted in ultimately an ambulance ride to the hospital, and she ended up in the ICU for a longer than expected period of time. And it was all fully avoidable. I was there at the time. I was transporting her home. I was not made aware of these risks, and she wasn't capable of taking care of herself in recovery mode.
Wow. And so what was the next step in both career and home healthcare for your wife?
Yeah, so I had been in healthcare technology, but most of what I had done had been focused on how do we actually make operations better? How do we negotiate cheaper supply costs? How do we collect more money? And to me, I was always motivated by the fact that, hey, hospitals have thin margins. If I can help them improve margins, they can hire more nursing labor, they can provide better care. And I got a little jaded over time that may not be the case. And this was a call to action for me to really find a way to bring technology to bear in a way that was designed to make patients' lives better and improve the quality of what we're doing. So I met the founder of HealthLoop. His name is Dr. Jordan Schlain. He's actually a very successful concierge medicine physician. He takes care of a lot of extremely wealthy and fortunate families in the Silicon Valley area and the LA area, and he's opening practices across the country. And he actually came up with the idea of HealthLoop out of a clinical failure. He had an otherwise healthy patient that presented to him in his office. He quickly prescribed bacterial pneumonia, put the patient on a course of oral antibiotics, and said, "You should be feeling pretty good in 2 or 3 days if you don't give me a call." He did get a phone call. It was 5 days later, and it was from a nurse in the ICU at CalPAC Medical Center letting him know that his patient was in respiratory failure and on a respirator. And his first reaction was, "Why in the world wouldn't she call me? She pays me tens of thousands of dollars every year to have my cell phone number, to have that level of access with her physician. I can't imagine why, when she wasn't feeling better, she wouldn't call me." He reflected on that and he said, "You know what? Shame on me. Why didn't I call her?" So he built a very rudimentary Excel spreadsheet that was literally for every patient he had seen the day prior. And it was red light, yellow light, green light. He would ask that patient, "How are you doing today? Are you better, same, or the worse?" Right? If they were better, great, he took them off the list. If they were the same, he kept them on the list. If they were red, they had a longer conversation and figured out what was better. Over a dinner conversation, he made a bet with a colleague to go ahead and attempt to commercialize and scale the technology, and off to the races we were.
Well, that's interesting. Tell us about your app. You have an app that is not a fitness app. It's a clinical application. I'm reading one of the pieces here. Designed by physicians, designers, and patients who understand the importance of staying connected.
Yeah. So there's really two or three components to our solution. One, we're a content company. We actually write medical content. It turns out that nobody has actually taken the time from a clinical perspective to write down, what as a patient do you need to know? What as a patient do you need to do on a daily basis when you're either preparing for a scheduled procedure or after you're discharged? That does not exist. So we actually had clinicians review evidence-based literature and develop for whatever your medical episode might be. So if you're newly diagnosed with diabetes, if you were in a car accident, you're recovering from orthopedic trauma, if you are a patient that had an exacerbation of congestive heart failure, we've developed over 170 care plans that are really designed to be the patient-centric information for them. Sometimes I like to call it digital Prozac, because a lot of this is about setting the patient's expectation around what's normal and when they need to escalate risk factors to their care team. So that's one component of our capability. But what we've also learned is we actually have to push this information to the patient. We can't expect them to come to an online portal and review it. We can't expect them to remember to do that. Just like every other aspect of your life that's using digital technology now, as a patient, I'm setting my own preference around, how do I want to be notified when I have new information to review from my physician? Do I want a text? Do I want an email? Do I want to download the Loop app? And they go in, they click on that, and when the patient's going through that content and that check-in, we're gathering structured data through every click as they go through that, that we're then able to build intelligence around to trigger workflows to clinicians if that patient's not doing well. So for example, if they indicate an incision site now has redness that is expanding around the wound, right? It's going to send proactively a message to the clinical team to say, "Hey, you have a patient that's showing signs of a potential infection. You need to follow up with them, get them on antibiotics, get them in the office, really figure out how to change the pathway for that patient to optimize their outcome."
Okay. And you need the doctors to be able to buy into this so that they can, so that the patient can communicate with them directly through this mobile app, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's not a single patient that I describe what we do to that doesn't say, "Holy blank, this is the best idea ever. I would love that." Or, "My mother just had blank surgery, and this would have been incredible for us to have access to." Really, the core of all change in our healthcare industry is really about how do you accommodate this change in the clinical environment? And anything that will create more work for clinicians is going to be scrutinized. Anything that will add new cost to the healthcare system is going to be scrutinized. So what we've had to do is figure out, how do you actually create incentives for these physicians to adopt the capability? And some of that we do with data. We're able to prove to these physicians that their experience is much better. These are patients that are then going to go talk about you. They're going to put online reviews for you. You're going to grow your business. Unfortunately, most clinicians are very data-driven as well, and we've been fortunate to partner with academic medical centers that have proven the ability to reduce reductions and complications through this platform. So it's really seen as a clinical improvement initiative as well.
So if you watched your demo on the getwellnetwork.com site, you can find Get Well Loop and find a demo, which is really helpful, and it really illustrates how you use, I mean, you talked before about empathy. You talked about how you're a content company, and you talked about how there are 160 different care, what did you call them? Like
care plans. Care plans, yeah.
Right. And so the funny thing that we know is not every doctor has a great bedside manner, but what you can do by writing this content into each care plan that is specially designed to have empathy surrounding your particular procedure, say I've just gotten my knee scoped, while it is a digital platform, it's got to feel so much more human.
Absolutely. I mean, the typical patient experience is they leave the hospital and maybe 3 weeks later, they're going back for a follow-up visit. Surgeons that I've spoke to have said, I had no idea what happened to the patient in that 3 week period of time. Sometimes they come in and I hear horrific stories about pain that they were experiencing that was completely avoidable. So it's eye-opening to physicians, this real-time visibility they get into the patient through this experience that they never had before. And to the patient, they walk into the doctor's office raving about the fact that, oh my gosh, you emailed me almost every day reminding me of what I needed to do. I was about to call your office because I was worried about this. And you guys got ahead of that question, right? Meanwhile, the physician, this is all fully automated. The physician sits back and is like, yeah, that's how we do things around here, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Well, and we all know anytime we've had some sort of procedure and we get a follow-up call from our doctor and we hear that voice and that's nice, but it's usually, you know, most of us don't answer our phone. So it goes to voicemail. And then you think, well, I don't know if this little pain I have in my knee or this redness around the incision mark is something worth calling about. Oh, you know, my doctor's busy. I'm just not going to call back. And so this is exactly what your program, what Health Loop just supersedes.
Yeah, and a lot of providers were trying to do this with telephones, either having nurses do follow-up calls to patients or trying to use robocall-based solutions. I am just like you. When there's a phone number that is reaching my cell and I don't know who it is, I'm not picking it up. No way, right? So a lot of this is about how do we actually create more of an omni-channel way to be able to communicate with patients that aligns with how they expect to be communicated with throughout their life from a mobile perspective. And many nurses, it was very rewarding to me, said, you know, I feel like I went from a professional voicemail leaver to somebody that is actually supporting the right patient at the right time. Like, I'm actually doing a better job as a nurse now than I was capable of doing before because of this insight that I didn't have before.
Seems like there's so many moving pieces to a healthcare visit potentially. And maybe 50 or 60 years ago, there were a couple of moving pieces, you know, a couple of doctors and specialists and all. And today there are more specialists, there are more people involved. So the experience really requires better communication. Back to your wife's example that got you involved in all of this. If there was a non-medical person, a really sharp advocate that was watching all these moving pieces and trying to help the pieces communicate with each other and, of course, communicate back to you and to your wife, would that have changed the experience?
Yeah, most definitely. It's frequently called a care management or a navigation function, and it's increasing in adoption across the industry.
It's an advocate.
Yeah, and the reason that it's actually increasing is due to accountable care and increasingly organizations being held actually cover the cost of a patient after their discharge for a 30 or 90 day period. So now health systems actually have an incentive to make some investments in controlling mm-hmm. and keeping that cost down. But you're absolutely right. With the proliferation of specialists in multiple different teams, like in my wife's circumstance, interventional radiologist, a thoracic surgeon, you know, many others being involved in that, it's gotten increasingly difficult to coordinate care for that patient. And I hate the way that I have to describe this, but often when we're in implementation and working with our customers, there's a question around, well, who owns the patient? Right? Who owns the patient at this point in time, right? Is it the IR doc, or is it the surgeon, or is it the hospital? And I'm like, well, nobody owns the patient. The patient owns themselves, right?
That's right.
But we need to make sure that we're collaborating effectively at the right times and kind of bringing this team together for the best interest of the patient.
Harry, we can't let you go without hearing just a little bit about the Children's Justice Center. We just have another minute, but we were hoping to have more time for this, but tell us what your involvement is.
Yeah. So I joined helped create a friends board for the Children's Justice Center, which is an organization that's actually run by the county and funded by the state to help support children that have been abused sexually or physically. Sadly, that does happen here in our mountain community. We've had over 60 cases this year alone, which is actually higher than where we ended last year. But fortunately, we have an incredible team of professionals that are trained in investigation, therapy, and support for these families who are able to avoid further trauma for that child and ensure that there's sort of a one-stop shop to navigate that family and that child through the horrible experience. And we were the only CJC in the state that didn't have its own dedicated facility until very recently when we bought what is known as the Zebra House.
And that was Harry Kirschner, our guest today from Get Well Loop of the Get Well Network, also a community member and on the board of the Friends of the Children's Justice Center.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org. under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.